I have question. Thank you. Anyone like my question?
Yes, we would like your question.
What appears? Can it be just one word?
Visible object.
Or?
Sound.
Or?
Seeing.
Yeah. Or just one word?
Hardness.
I just read the Pitaka. So it came from what I read. What appears?
Reality. Yes. Dhamma.
Yeah.
Dhamma.
Another word?
Another word in the searching.
What else?
Give up.
Pardon?
I give up.
Give up?
Aramana.
What else?
Thinking.
Yeah.
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 What else? What else?
Feeling.
What else? What else?
World.
Yes, or another word, what else?
Kanda?
Yes, that's it. Yeah. Just kanda. Just kanda. So that we can understand better and better by just one word. Nothing else but kanda, no matter it's sound or smell, taste, sight or what. Kanda appears. You see that we use this word a lot, but what about the understanding of it?
Right, that's what I was going to say, Achan. I still don't understand kanda.
It is now appearing.
No, but I have no understanding.
That's right, because it's not just only the word. We talk about it, but it has to be the developed panya to really be just begin to understand that it's real and it's that which we don't really understand yet because it's only the intellectual understanding. It indicates that there are so many right understanding to be developed stage by stage.
What would be an example of intellectual understanding of kanda?
It appears now at moment of seeing. We used to take it for people and things, but actually it's only that which can be seen.
That I understand, that which can
only
be seen.
It's not enough because you see that, oh, I understand the words, that which can be seen. But what about the characteristic of that which is seen now? See, it needs
therefore,
development.
Its kanda is meaningless if you don't understand.
In reality, it has to be just kanda, nothing else, no people, nothing. Otherwise, we might not have the fully understanding the meaning of kanda. That which appears and panya developed to understand kanda.
Just means the reality which appears, that arises and falls away, never to appear again. So each one arises, falls away, and is distinct. That's why it's kanda. So whether it's rupa or vedana or any other reality, it's just the dhamma which arises, falls away, gone completely. That's what I mean, I understand as the meaning of kanda.
So each rupa is
kanda, and each rupa is distinct, different from each other, but they each have in common that they are rupa kanda, that each one is kanda.
And also sankhara dhamma
means kanda, like
kanda.
Loka.
Yeah.
Anything which is conditioned.
Uh-huh. Otherwise, it cannot arise at all. Nothing can arise without conditions. So you can answer in many way of words, like kanda, sankhara dhamma, But just one word, it indicates that right understanding is not enough. It needs more development. No expectation to understand this or that, but just one word, khanda, is not yet understood clearly by such thinking or read just one page of Dhamma.
Can even Dhamma?
Yes.
Dhamma
appears more straightforward than khanda, but even that is not really understood.
It takes time.
Sorry, can you repeat the question? Dhamma appears
more straightforward than the concept of khanda. Dhamma means all reality. But even that is not understood, really. Just a word. And
what? Please help me here. What's the difference between khanda and dhamma and khanda? What is there a difference?
I don't understand khanda. Sarah just explained one aspect of khanda. The meaning of khanda. Mm-hmm. So, which I need to think about.
But khanda is dhamma, isn't it?
Why is it called khanda?
Oh, it's a good question. Why is it called khanda? It's just another name. Many names. It's my understanding. It's just another name.
For that which is real.
Which is Dhamma. Mm-hmm. Namakanda, Rupakanda.
Yeah, you're saying just Nama.
We know Nama and Rupa.
That's just words, I agree. That's just words. Ultimately. But, yeah.
I'm asking you about Vohara, which is, I've heard you talking about a few years ago on the tape, and which is the Buddha's teaching. And I was thinking that it is both Sutta and Abhidhamma. It doesn't matter if it's conventional teaching or in terms of Paramattha Dhamma is still Vohara, both.
Without Paramattha Dhamma, there's nothing. No Vinaya, no Suttanta. So the Khanda is there now.
Yeah, see? It's Vohara. Uh-huh. Because it's a word, Khanda.
It's real, but...
It's real, but it's a word.
But no understanding of Khanda, so we think of Khanda like we know already, but actually it's not.
Why there's a reason for distinguishing khanda from dhatu?
Ayatana, a different aspect.
That's Buhara. That's the only the Buddha's teaching explain that. And so it doesn't matter if he says talking about people or talking about Paramattha Dhamma. It's still realities, anyway.
That's the understanding that's important.
Yeah.
If you don't use Pali term, can we say that whatever appears, what is real, what is the true nature of that which appears? Otherwise, just the word khanda and tell that it's khanda because it arises and falls away, so it's present, past, and future. It's inside or outside, yeah, and things like that. It's only words. But talking about khanda now, which appears, we have to listen more and more in order to understand that actually only khanda appears. Another khanda, see, always khanda.
As Sarah was trying to explain early, and you just said it's what appears.
To ignorance,
yes. All realities appear to ignorance, yeah, as of now. So, khanda is that which appears.
Always. Nothing else. But to ignorance. That's why the teachings of the Buddha is like open, that which is covered. If it's not Panya, Khanda cannot appear as Khanda.
And when visible object like now appears or is experienced, and like this morning we were saying immediately afterwards, usually clinging, so then at that moment it's Upadana Khanda, or the object of clinging. But if it's not experienced or not the object of clinging, then it's just Khanda. So that's why there are the two words, Khanda and Upadana Khanda.
Does it help to understand the teachings of the Buddha? Only Khanda appears.
I think it's helpful because otherwise we're used to thinking in terms of tables and people and different objects all day in life, and when one begins to appreciate actually no tables and no people and no cups at all, just only Khandas. Now or in the past or in the future or any time, just different realities only.
And so one knows it takes quite a long, long time to really understand Khanda. That's Khanda, no one in it.
So would it be correct to say that
at the time of thinking about table, what appears is thinking?
It is now appearing, and when there is not, the direct understanding is thinking all the time.
I mean, there's visible object and there's thinking. So a khanda is visible object
and thinking. And everything, everything appears only khanda.
Yeah, so somebody was asking what's the difference between khanda and dhamma. So
no different.
But Paramattha Dhamma is also Nibbana, which is not...
Because there is no understanding of Khanda, that's why he taught and taught and taught by different ways to develop understanding of Khanda. That is real, is Dhamma, is Paramattha Dhamma, uncontrollable. Nobody can change its characteristic. In other way, it's Tattu, and so many, many words just to understand Khanda. As no one, no self.
Nibbana is also Dhamma.
But not Khanda.
But not Khanda. Not, so what's the difference between Dhamma and Khanda at this point? In this?
Nibbana is Dhamma, but not Khanda.
Because it doesn't arise and fall away.
So there is a difference between...
Sankhara Khanda.
Sankhara
Dhamma.
Difference between visible object as Khanda, visible object as Dhamma.
Yes, because today is what appear, Nibbana or Khanda. Everyday life. For example, if the answer is Dhamma appears, what type or what kind of Dhamma can appear? Only Khanda. Appear in daily life.
All Sankhara Dhammas that can be the object of clinging. Daily life.
Can we find other support to support the understanding of Khanda without listening to the teachings.
So what is the right understanding about the supporting condition, the supporting paccaya?
What we are doing now, listening and developing understanding, is the only way. No other support. This is the direct support.
I want to ask about the supporting paccaya. What is that name? The name?
Supporting.
Decisive.
You mean decisive support? Yeah.
Now it is.
Yeah. Now there is by when there's
listening and considering and panya arises, it's being accumulated, and this is the condition for more panya in future to arise. So it's conditioning by habit, by decisive support condition. So this is what is meant by support at this moment. So the kusala at this moment is the support or condition for kusala in future.
Natural decisive support condition to be any reality as a condition for panya, any reality that in the past
condition for any
for anything.
Yeah.
But in this case, talking about panya, that in the past have been conditioned for panya and now is conditioned for panya again.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Actually, Jan, this reminds me of something we were discussing yesterday evening after the discussion.
And when we read about natural decisive support condition, we read about habits and tendencies, but we also read about how anything, even food or climate or could be phases of the moon, anything can be support for kusala or akusala at this moment. So usually we think of just past tendencies of, say, panya or kusala's condition, but actually there are other supports mentioned in the patana, like temperature or food or something. So then people think, like we read in the Satipatthana Sutta about the favorable climate, for example, as support for listening to the teachings. But then people think, okay, maybe it's good to find the suitable climate or the good food or something like this as support.
Oh, many kinds of of Upanishyapatiya.
Three.
What are they?
Aramanupanishaya.
The object.
Anantarupanisaya and Pakatupanisaya.
And Pakatupanisaya. What about lunch we have today? Can it be Aramanupanisaya? Ben? Can or cannot? Which one? It's the Aramanupanisaya. Otherwise, we just talk about name, but actually, there must be conditions. From eating, liking, see? So which one is Aramanupanisaya?
The one that is liked, the one that one enjoys at lunchtime, for example, is the Aramanupanisaya paccaya.
Mm-hmm.
Like one
the
particularly
fish?
Likes the fish or the spicy or the soup, then it's Aramanupanisaya paccaya.
What condition citta to take the fish? In your plate, have it. Once it's been the
habit,
object of like, it conditioned like of such object. Like what color you do like, see? from time to time, you have such object again and again.
Mm. So in the case of choosing food, it's not so much the taste, it's the looks sometimes,
all,
which is...
Anything. Khanda, all khandas.
Can you say, I forgot what is Anantarupanasyachipatya?
The succession of the arising and falling away
and
of citta cetasika. It's like Anantarupanasyachipatya.
What's the difference?
The Anantarupanasyachipatya, it means that it's strong enough just not letting, strong enough to condition.
The same kind
the
of?
The same. No, no, not the same. The right one to arise after. It's past. Where?
The right one would mean what?
After Chakku Vinyana,
mm-hmm.
the Antarupanisyapachya condition, the Sampadichana.
Oh, okay.
Exactly the same. Okay.
But we're talking about, so. Now we just talked about Aramanupanisya and Anantarupanisya Patya, and talking about Pakatu Upanisya, we were talking about how not just previous Panya, like now there is understanding, and this by habit conditions Panya in future, but it does in the Vatana also mention these other conditions like temperature or what is favorable or.
That in order to understand the teachings, Buddha taught in different ways. Like we have heard about the Aramanupanisya, and then another word, Buddha didn't use the word Aramana, but he used Upanisya, Kochara, see, another one, to show the difference between. Usually in the day, no need to talk about the Pakatupa, Nisaya, Kochara, Upanisaya, Kochara, which means Pakatupa, but the term is Upanisaya, Kochara. In the day, it's always like that. But when we talk about the development of understanding, what is the Upanisaya, Kochara? It means listening to the teachings, reading, whatever, discussing, and so on, just to incline little by little to turn to having more and more understanding the teachings until it's become one's habit. Because there is always that object more than having none at all.
The object which is, it's the object which is
appropriate for understanding
is by Kojira, until it becomes one's own character of reading, thinking of Dhamma.
You're saying this is how we usually use the term, but it actually applies to akusala also?
All the time.
No. So it's just showing in a different, from a different angle.
More details. It can be separated into three different ones under the Pakatupanisyapachya. What appears? Khanda, which is not known at all.
But however it's discussed, or from whichever angle, it's about habits, and it's showing that these habits are accumulated or developed, whether kusala or akusala, but it develops by accumulation, not by anyone choosing or doing anything. Mm-hmm. So it's just different ways of looking at how habits accumulate.
And it will bring to Araka Kochara.
Araka Kochara.
Protection. So mm-hmm. Araka means leading to all kinds of kusala, which are protection from akusala.
So that means we cannot really, we don't usually talk about Upanishad Gochara with, in terms of Akusla, because there can't be Araka mm-hmm. in terms of, yeah.
And it will lead to?
Panibandha Gochara.
Yeah, see, before there can be the moment of direct understanding, it takes time. By conditions.
And this is a good example of how it's only through understanding that all kinds of kusala can develop. There can only be the protection of all kinds of kusala through the development of understanding.
Can this moment be Araka Kojara?
Yes,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So at any time when kusala arises, it's from Upanishad Gochara as conditions. Because akusala is so strong, so it needs pachya to be kusala, to be protection.
So Upanishad Gochara is a support for all kinds of kusala, for mm-hmm. Araka Gochara.
Mm-hmm.
And Araka Gochara is support for the Upanibandha.
Any moment.
That's, I think, this is your questions about how to condition more kusala by hearing, by Upanishad Gochara, which is by listening to the Buddha's word. That it's itself a condition for more kusala, for Araka Gochara, which is all kinds of kusala. Right?
So I think if through the other Bohara, the conventional, we can say this is like saying association with the wise, right?
Related to all other teachings about
hearing the Dhamma.
Yeah.
And when we talk about listening to the teachings, a condition, that means listening with understanding. It doesn't mean just, it's a bit like otherwise, you know, reading the suttas. It doesn't mean just opening the book and reading. It doesn't mean just turning on the tape of Ajahn Suchin, because if there's no understanding, then it's not what is meant by listening at all.
Yeah, as Sukhin was saying, it can also be conditioned for a kusala. Panisaya Gocha, also for a kusala.
So it depends on the understanding.
Yes. Yes.
So when they talk about
Upanishad Pachaya, Pagat Upanishad Pachaya, for Panya, at that moment, how do we, what is Panya? Because Panya arises because of accumulated Panya from the past. What can we say of that conditioning?
Parayati, Patipati, Pativeda.
No, the Panya of the past, how
Parayati
does it
of the past. Parayati of the past or Patipati of the past, which will lead to Pativeda anytime we don't know at all, no expectation.
Can we, does it have a name in terms of Pachaya?
Like Aramana Pachaya. Usually there is thinking, and what's the object of thinking?
Attachment and ignorance, usually.
Do you think about Dhamma with understanding?
Sometimes.
Mm, that is the condition.
And so the Panya, which arises, in there are many Pachayas for Panya to arise. Now the Panya, without Panya accumulated, there wouldn't be Panya now. Now that accumulated Panya...
Condition this moment.
This moment, by way of what?
Pachaya.
Something.
Better say, otherwise you are looking for Pakutu Upanishad, yeah, Aram Upanishad Gochara, see? because it's not the weather or the climate or the food.
So when are we talking about the weather or the climate or the
food?
Or Sapaya Sampajanya?
Condition, right thinking about Panya.
Right.
Instead of thinking about
other things, by Pakatu Panisya Pachya. But then people may go wrong because then they think, okay, if I find the right food or the right climate, this is the condition, but it's not understanding the natural way, I think.
That's why the words of the Buddha are so very subtle.
I think it's better, more right to conclude that there's very little accumulated understanding there to try to come to a conclusion that particular conditions were, you know, conditioned Pandya. It's just
no need to think about Pandya at all at moment of understanding reality.
It's because if people, they read this and then they think if they go to this, live in this Buddhist country or they go to this climate or something, then this will be the condition for understanding, but then itself that thinks it can control understanding again. It's not the natural understanding of conditioned realities at this moment. And I have I wrote something recently on the discussion list about Pariyatti Patipatti and Pativeda, and a friend mentioned that the terms don't appear in the suttas and even in the
Pariyatti Patipatti Pativeda
he cannot find. Which sutta does it?
We can ask the foundation member to search.
And usually, like, for example, in the commentaries...
Is there any word like Pariyatti?
There is Patipatti.
Pariyatti.
I'm not sure Pariyatti, but there is
Patipatti. Patipatti, yes. And in the commentaries...
How come Patipatti without Pariyatti?
And the other thing is in the commentary, like in the Samoha Vinodana, it usually has Pariyatti and then Pativeda mentioned before Patipatti. What is
impossible.
The reason? But why do they put
impossible,
it in this order?
Because there must be Pariyatti to condition Patipatti in order to lead to Pativeda.
It's just a way of discussion.
They say like Jataka are not the words of the Buddha. I've read that. You know, all that sort of...
Why do you want to bring this up? Buddha trying to prove. I mean, we know, we agree that the commentaries are not the Buddha's direct words. But it's useful, right? It helps.
You mean the...
Commentaries, it's useful. Yeah. So why talk, you know, about it as if it's separate from the Buddha's teachings?
And what about Satyayana, Kijayana, and...
That's in the first sutta, isn't it?
Gatiyana.
Yeah, that's
see?
In the commentary.
They agree?
But the thing is, usually we approach with Sutta Maya Panya, Chinta Maya Panya, Bhavana Maya Panya, or Pariyatti Patipatti Pativeda. If they don't understand that, then it's quite unlikely that they'll understand Satyayana, Kichayana, Katayana.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't come up.
Ajahn, just now you said that don't need to think about particular pachayas, right? Did I hear right?
Now at this moment, what pachaya? Which word object is appearing? Seeing sees what pachaya? Do we have to think that like that? Thinking will lead to direct understanding. Thinking about what one has heard, that it's only khanda, it arises and falls away. That is moment of thinking, which will be conditioned for direct understanding without words at all. What appears now, again? Does Pattaya appear? what appears.
Pachyas never appear, just to understand, right, Ajahn?
Understanding the pachya is there. Without word.
For example, like now, when one says this visible object which appears, which is experienced now by seeing, actually that is aramana pachya, but one doesn't have to say that is aramana pachya. But when one understands it's visible object now, which is experienced by seeing, that is understanding what is meant by aramana pachya. So one doesn't have to stop and say, oh, this is this pachya and this is that pachya, because this is thinking, not understanding anything about the characteristic of that reality, visible object which appears now. So it's by understanding realities that one begins to understand conditions and pachya. Just by reading and trying to work out pachya, one cannot understand realities. So it always comes back to understanding the realities now, to understand what is meant by khanda, what is meant by pachya, what is meant by aramana or anything else.
So is that understanding about pachya will have to understanding about non-self, which is owned by this or that or some pachya? Not anyone out there.
No. If there is no words at all from Buddha, can anyone know that what appears is just a reality which arises? See?
Understanding what appears, not just thinking about anatta. Pachya also is understood when there's understanding of what appears, not just thinking about the concept. We hear, yes, and it's good to hear, we need to hear, but not like we try to think in order to understand. But if there's right understanding, then there's right thinking about it.
Instead of thinking that without visible object, seeing cannot arise, instead of thinking like that, but now what is seen by seeing. So visible object, or that which is seen, is a pachya for seeing to arise. Is that enough?
Very basic. Still very hard.
Yeah. Need more other pachya? And think more about pachya?
In some way, I think it can be helpful to check if someone think or understand in the right way. Let's say, as Sarah just said, that someone may think good food or with good temperature may support. So if by understand right about ahara pachaya or some other pachaya, then we'll know that that thinking is right.
So keep on having good food, can that be pachaya for understanding?
To me, that what is understand about the ahara pachaya.
When you are sick, do you think of your sickness or understanding Dhamma, which appears?
Mm-hmm.
So, if you are not sick at all, do you have more time to read, to study? No worry about sickness at all. And that's the answer.
But it doesn't mean that everyone who's healthy, who eats good food and lives in a pleasant climate or goes out when the phases of the moon are correct, will have understanding. So it's not like that at all. So just
but
support condition.
Lan is also not referring to just physical food. Other ahara pachya as well, right?
I think that she meant
physical food. You meant just the physical food?
As I know, there are four kaya foods, right? Which is now a physical food, and then the contact, and then the concept, and then so on.
Can anyone understand the complication of everything to which condition just a moment of khanda? Instead of trying so hard, and panya is not keen enough to be able to understand that. What about beginning to understand what appears before thinking about bhajya? If you try and try to think of bhajya, no time to understand whatever appears. But now it's time to develop understanding.
I think this is the beginning of Satchayana. When we hear the Dhamma and we're just trying to figure things out, that means no Satchayana.
Just means we can just be collecting more and more details, and so that one has all these details about Pachya, but actually not any understanding of reality at this moment at all.
Achan, is there a reason why in the list of Pachya the root condition is mentioned first?
The hetu?
Hetu.
Is it not important?
It is. No, but I was just thinking, the thought came when Dan was asking about ahara pachaya. I don't understand ahara pachaya, but little bit I can understand.
What hetu is ahara pachaya? How many ahara pachaya?
The physical food, contact, Chitta?
Chetana
and Chitta.
Mm. So talk about all this. Without food, can anyone live?
Mm-hmm. Physical, yes. Mm-hmm. Without contact, can there be any experience? Is that
the Without Chitta, yes. Mm-hmm. Experience.
And Chetana?
And Chetana without
condition, birth.
This is the beginning without new life.
What about anyone who understands the names and words and bhajya, but does not understand whatever appears now? What for then? Just thinking about bhajya, trying to know more. Someone may call that person scholar, but actually no understanding. No parinya.
No parinya.
Mm-hmm. Because there are three kinds, three levels. Yata parinya, tirana parinya, and pahana parinya.
Please explain them.
All are vipassana jnana.
So what's yata?
Yata parinya means that reality appears as it is. No one no world, only that alone with right understanding.
What does yata mean, yata?
No.
The way it is, the reality.
As it is. It's from the same word as yata, bhuta.
I don't know Pali term. Yata means as it is.
As it is.
Parinya is knowledge,
isn't it? Parinya is knowledge.
From what?
I think it's the knowledge from insight. So the nyata parinya is a knowledge from clearly understanding the distinction between nama and rupas, the first vipassana jnana. So the knowledge that is developed from that insight.
Investigating
knowledge from the tender insights, mm-hmm. right? So from the next couple of vipassana jnanas, which are the tender insights. So it's the knowledge which is investigating knowledge which follows from those insights.
Like it's Santirana.
Santirana, yes, yes. It's that kind of tirana. And then Mahana, Parinya. Which is the knowledge which is developed from the higher insights.
And the last one?
That's Bahana.
Bahana. So this Bahana Parinya, which is abandoning.
By
leaving it behind.
Given the Pahana Sutta, right, abandoning.
I would like to talk a little bit of difference between Nisya and Upanisya. Would you talk a little bit about that, please?
Nisya can be like the Vattu, Vinisya for Chitta to arise, with Vattu in the five khanda planes, citta cannot arise. So that is Nisya.
The basic.
Support. The base.
I'm still not clear. It's something that Robert and I often argue and disagree. And sometimes when he comes to discussions, he mentions your answer seems to support his position. Sometimes it seems to support my position, so I'd like to ask. What exactly is Pariyati?
The Buddha's words or the Buddha's teachings.
Okay, that's something that would...
Listen with understanding.
But the words...
Like Kanda, see... Without understanding, it has no meaning at all. What appears?
So it's not just the Buddha's words without which are not understood. So it's not Pariyati if there's no understanding what is meant by Kanda. If one just reads suttas about Kanda with no understanding, it's not Pariyati.
The level of understanding.
Okay, and so, Pariyati is both the teachings and the understanding of the teachings.
It must be understanding.
It is understanding. So we are talking about Panya Chetasika.
Right.
Now, what does Pariyati know? What does it understand?
What Kanda is?
Must it be reference to reality, what appears? Or
the teachings of the Buddha only.
Is there Pariyati when
thinking what Buddha taught about realities, about the truth?
Okay,
that nobody can teach at all.
Like just now, you explained that Kanda means what appears. The reality that appears, that actually appears. And now, I don't know if there's Pariyati understanding or not, but there's thinking about it, which
to know whether Khanda is real or not.
But where is Khanda? Khanda is now.
It's now appearing.
So can we say that Pariyati always refers to the reality now?
Certainly. Or any time.
And what about thinking in terms of, say, kalapas, which is never experienced?
Is it Khanda? What does appear is Khanda.
But it doesn't even appear as Khanda yet.
So when you talk about kalapa, what characteristic appear?
Just one reality, but no idea about
what,
kalapa.
What reality when we talk about kalapa? What appears?
Visible object. No, it doesn't appear. Kalapa doesn't appear.
Thinking?
Thinking appears?
At moment of touching, what appears?
Hardness?
When we talk about kalapa, we talk about realities, right? And what appears at moment of touching?
Hardness.
See? With many, many kalapas.
But this is just thinking about...
Is it not true?
But we don't understand. It's just a...
That's why the understanding of the teachings is Pariyati.
So if we think about it and...
With understanding or with not with no understanding?
Understanding what? When we say it is true,
okay.
Understanding
at
what?
At moment of touching, what appears?
Hardness.
Buddha taught a lot about hardness in order to understand hardness as nothing in it. It's only hardness, right? And this level of panya cannot discern the kalapas at all.
So can we conclude that this level...
Otherwise, it has to be vipassana jnana now, if it appears.
So just thinking about kalapas without vipassana jnana is not pariyati?
It's pariyati because one begins to know that what one experiences is not just the whole piece of hardness. Actually, there must...
Thinking.
Yes, but thinking rightly, correctly.
I would say thinking in reference to a reality, but still...
Understanding at level of thinking.
It's a story about that reality.
Yeah. Without that, how can there be the development of understanding that hardness arises and falls away?
But the concept of kalapas does not say anything about the
without
reality.
Without vipassana jnana, when it's not vipassana jnana, it cannot experience the kalapa.
But it's also beginning, like now, there can be beginning to understand why this hardness is not this hardness or this hardness or this hardness, why this hardness that we take for the body is different from this hardness here. And because it doesn't, that hardness doesn't just arise on its own, but it arises with other rupas which condition it. So, for example, of the body, one knows from one's reading there must be the life faculty, and it's the karma-conditioned rupa conditioned by those other rupas together. So this is just beginning to understand how each hardness is different, each khanda is different because of different conditions, and one of the conditions is for that hardness to be the way it is. It's the other rupas that it arises together with that conditions it. So each hardness is completely different from every other hardness. So it can be, it's like when we're talking about conditions or kalapas, it can be thinking wisely with a little understanding or thinking unwisely with clinging. When it's thinking, when it's just collecting details, it's not pariyati. But if it's considering wisely in order to understand more about the hardness which appears now as anatta, by understanding how it's conditioned to be that way, then it can be pariyati.
So can be also, for example, when there's seeing, we know that if we touch, there's hardness, because where there's visible object, there must be the four Mahabhuta rupas. That's some understanding about kadapas.
Right.
It's like seeing now. Who knows that seeing arises and falls away? If Buddha didn't teach about one moment at a time, what citta arises before seeing and what citta after seeing, one by one, in details. Now it does not appear like kalapa cannot appear.
And just understanding that kalapas cannot appear is pariyati.
Because it has to be vipassanayana only.
But just beginning to understand, like you said, that the visible object depends on those mahabhuta rupas and other rupas that appear together with it. It's a way to help understand how it's anatta, how it's conditioned at that moment.
It doesn't mean that what Buddha insight can be directly understanding at moment of listening just to one word.
A friend asked a question. It's said in the suttas that kusala karma done in the past is one of the favorable conditions to hear the Dharma and attain enlightenment. And when we read about hearing the true Dharma, is it referring to the activity through the ear door or the mind door? Because it's not just the sounds that are referred to, but has to be the understanding. So when we're talking about it as, I mean, obviously the result of karma is just hearing the sounds. But
and what about the pakatupanisyapacca?
It must be there as
yeah,
well.
After hearing.
So it actually is referring to both karma and the
yeah. He talk about the 24 paccaya,
yeah.
And we have to understand yeah. At what moment which paccaya is. Yeah.
So both refer to.
Otherwise.
Yeah, but in this life we hear in English, in another life it could be in some other
Thai
language.
Or Thai, or what the language, we don't know. But the understanding of Dharma can be with any language.
But hearing just hears only sound.
Yes, which has the meaning of Paramattha Dharma.
So in this case, what is the pakatupanisyapacca? Not the sound.
The understanding.
The understanding.
Yeah. Otherwise, you might recollect past life. You might speak Pali, Magathi, but now
no understanding. Or the dogs may hear the sound as a result of kusala karma, but totally not, no use. So it can't.
It seems like one would like to know directly this moment whether the object is pleasant or not pleasant at all by karma. See, it's impossible. Whether
so
it's pleasant.
Hearing the Dhamma is not just a sound.
Hearing is hearing, and after hearing, what arises?
Thinking. About
so, what about pakatupanisyapacca?
Yeah. So, it's implied.
The thinking about what's heard.
The understanding.
The understanding. Okay.
So, when we read about hearing the true Dhamma, it's implied that it's also referring to the pakatupanisya, the understanding.
Who knows what karma condition seeing right now? Mm. See? So why thinking about that?
Even when we accept that we don't know the karma, but we think that it is karma.
There is, because now there is karma, so it means that in the past there
but
must
do
be.
We really understand? It's just remembering that it must
can
be.
Can there
karma.
Be vipassanayana without listening?
Maybe it's better to remove now, do you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Bika. Bika, di. Kusala? Kusala? Who knows?
But then Kundundun knows what it's going to happen.
Yeah. But don't know the moment.
Of course, we're more trouble if we wait until it rains.
Let's move. Okay. Now, khanda is appearing all the time, but no understanding of any khanda.
So, talk about khanda now just to stress only reality at this moment, nothing else at all. Because forgetting all the time.
Yeah. And to realize whether one understands khanda or if there is understanding of khanda or none at all.
Any single moment of understanding is carried on, is accumulated and carried on.
Little by little from hearing. Yeah. Yeah. That's why it takes quite a long, long time, eons and eons, to really seeing or understanding whatever appears, no expectation.
Because one might think that pariyatti is panya, lots of panya, and we listen a lot of to the teaching, so that's not all pariyatti, is it?
Lopa is there all the time. Hinders all the time, thinking like when, how, something like that.
So, Chan, sometimes when we realize that we don't understand, that is also pariyatti, because
that
we know...
That is understanding.
Because not understanding what appears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Appreciating that it's just ignorance at this moment. So beginning to understand more about ignorance.
So that there can be conditions to study more. Because it's only where.
And it also shows that is Pandya leading the way.
The friend who asked the other question I just mentioned before the break, he also remembers when he came here to Gangrajan. The friend Ken, he came from Australia before here, and we were talking about seeing invisible object. And he asked about, well, what about smelling now? And you said, can you smell anything now? And he says there have been many, many explanations, but he still doesn't know exactly what people have been trying to tell him. The question, can you smell anything now, seems to him to be a purely conventional question, not a Dharma question. Ultimately, smelling consciousness comes and goes in a tiny fraction of a second, so I don't see the point in asking, who would know exactly what is happening in the present one trillionth of a second? So he doesn't understand what the purpose of asking.
Seems an unusual question.
Well, he would say that, like, we can answer yes or no, or it doesn't appear now, but he's saying that because we know from our study that smelling consciousness arises and falls away so quickly, so who could say whether there is smell at this trillionth of an instant? If he doesn't study, then it's something all the time.
Smell still exists.
There's still smell.
What do you call that? Smell? So there is smell.
There is.
To be smelt. So what about the question?
So the question is like when one says, is there smelling now? It seems to him to be like a conventional question, because
each citta arises and passes away so rapidly, so who could say at this split instant whether smell appears or not, because by the time one's thought about it, it's long since
can
gone.
Can smell be experienced?
Yes.
So, what question?
It's just like the other sense doors in any way, isn't it? It's just like you could say that about seeing, hearing, touching.
I think what he found difficult was we were talking about, for example, seeing an invisible object. So he said, well, you know, how about smelling now? And Ajahn said, does smell appear? And, of course, at that moment, usually there's ignorance. Who knows whether smell appears at that instant?
At the moment of smelling, smell appears.
I have not been following the discussions, but based on past his statements from the past, he's coming in with the assumption that at any given time there are many experiences to all five doorways.
So let's talk about just one at a time.
One at a time. So when you say the smell appear, because then it is implied that what appears is more sound and visible object. So right now, does smell appear?
To
ignorance.
To jitta, which experiences it.
So what is the point of asking, does smell appear?
In daily life, does smell appear?
Sometimes.
So, at that moment, is there smell?
There is.
So, what the question is?
You can say it doesn't appear as often as visible object, like now visible object appearing.
So by conditions.
By conditions. But
at
it
the moment smell appears, visible object does not appear.
I think he's also argued that, to the effect that it's not necessary that visible object appears more often than smell.
Why do we count?
If no count, then why talk only about visible object?
When it appears.
Appears to what?
Seeing.
But we just said that smell appears, but there's no understanding.
To smelling.
To smelling.
Mm-hmm.
Can we say, Kunsi Jin, that seeing and hearing predominate?
No need to think about anything. Just learn to understand that they are not self. They are different realities. Otherwise, the self is trying to find out, which is impossible.
So, Sarah, you would be satisfied with that, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think that is his point. Well, in fact, we just talk about seeing. We use it as an example. That's it. But we could be talking about seeing, or we could be talking about bodily experience, and we don't need to say what arises more often. Yeah, so he's making the point that actually smell appears, but usually not known at all. Who can say whether it appears at this moment? Because usually there's just ignorance when it does appear.
We could say that, could we say this as an example of Pakatupanisipacha? Visible object is Pakatupanisipacha for thinking about it more than smell is a condition for thinking about it. Would that be correct?
Well, it seems to me that there are conditions to think a lot about what is seen in the day, but I think Ajahn would again say that we don't have to say what is thought about more often or whatever, because otherwise understanding knows what appears or what can be known. But if we try to think about what should appear more often or something like that, then it's self getting involved trying to work it out.
So Ajahn's when Ajahn asks what appears, it's actually saying that That's all you can understand. That's the only object of understanding. It's not saying that it arises more often.
No. We could be talking about any sense, don't we? But
we just talk about seeing, but it could be talking about hearing or smelling.
Last night, after the discussion, we were sitting around the table having a chat, and the subject of astrology came up. And it turns out that among the six of us, there were four who were interested or had been interested in astrology. So I thought that it might be interesting to air the subject here. Can we say anything about astrology and the Dhamma?
I was interested in mechanics, I was interested in science, I was interested in so many things, but do we have to talk about all these things? Do you have to talk about sport?
Manchester United.
Your team?
Well, you could talk about sport if you wanted to.
You should, well.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But you wouldn't relate it to anything around what we discuss here.
No, because you said that many people are interested in this or that subject. Yeah, it is true, but even subjects changes over one's life. But I think Dhamma stays, and that's what's really worth making the most of it in this life. Time, because we can
yeah, and we just talk about Pakatupanisiyapachya. Better to understand that instead of trying to talk about a particular subject.
And what's past is past, right? You're not interested in astrology anymore.
But other people are, yeah.
Yes, okay. Yeah. As I said, I don't
mind talking about Manchester United. Yeah,
but nobody would believe that if Manchester United lose, yeah,
they'll be unlucky, you know. But astrology is different. They're actually not interested so much in where Sagittarius is, but what it will do to them, you know. Astrology is connected with. I mean, you could be interested in Manchester United now, but understanding about karma. But if you are interested in astrology, that seems to go against the understanding of karma.
Yeah. I wasn't there.
So Ajahn, can right understanding be can have the right understanding through reflecting those seem to be the worldly things in daily life?
What understanding is there?
It might be very basic. Let's say about the karma or about the latent.
What is the reality of karma?
What is the experience through one of the six sense dog concerned with
what
some
is karma?
Particular object?
What is karma?
Karma, vipaka or karma?
Karma. What is karma? What reality is karma? Not you. So, what reality is that you take for karma?
If by its sense, then it is the chetana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it has karma has karma or vipaka, result of karma has a very diversified extent or concern with particular objects.
It's the karma now. In order to understand karma, Is there karma now?
Yes.
What karma? What kind of karma is there?
So the karma list, what is listen or heard now will bring the result in the future.
What cetasika is karma?
Cetana.
Arises with each citta.
Yes.
And the other kind of karma, which can produce result later, after the karma is done.
Can we say it's other kind if it's kusala or akusala, which is not kamapatha? It's still the same kind, isn't it?
We talk about karma, yes, and then kamapatha later.
But there's karma which arises with vipaka also, but that does not produce result. So there is karma now.
What was your comment about astrology and karma? Would you like to repeat it?
Well, I wasn't there. I shouldn't have said it. But what I remember about astrology is that it's belief that something happening up there affects what you do and what happens to you.
The accumulation.
Yeah. Which, if I'm correct, maybe as Aramana Pache, I mean, if I look at the stars or something, but other than that, I don't think is true.
Even there's the relation between the two, but what's the use of thinking about that? Because who can know exactly this moment what citta is there with what types of cetasikas?
And still, whatever it is, for example, the weather, it comes down to what's experienced through the senses. It's hot means hot.
Yeah. What experiences that rupa, see?
And
better to understand the reality rather than thinking about the story.
And if kusala or akusala rises, it's by pakatupanesya pacha.
And this is why earlier, because after this discussion, and it's like thinking about food or climate or influence of the stars. Okay, even there's some influence, but it doesn't help at all to actually understand about reality now. So to just keep thinking about the effect of the food on one's tendencies, or to keep thinking about the temperature, or but it's not actually understanding the reality now. But Lan, you also made a comment about you thought it was because some people are more sensitive to the influence, and then it helps them to understand other realms or something.
Can that be, Achan, when there are some people seem to be more sensitive, and then they can...
Can we simply say by conditions? Because we cannot understand all conditions as much as we can understand is condition by conditions.
And what does it mean to be sensitive? It's sense door experience, thinking about the sense door experience. It's just all that from moment to moment. So what's being more sensitive? Sensitive to what?
It might be sensitive to...
You mean that there are conditions for that for citta to arise through that doorway?
And through the five sense doors, only seven rupas appear.
What seems to be sensitive is experienced through the mind. what seems to be sensitive is to experience through the mind door, which yesterday I thought that someone may be sensitive to feel to experience those seem to be not clearly or not clearly to say by word, but just perhaps it's some kind of subtle rupas.
What do you mean by subtle rupa?
Subtle rupa or the environment of some.
What is subtle rupa? What do you mean by subtle rupa?
If by theory or extent, then subtle rupa just something like the sex.
So I think that, as we said, sometimes we talk about all sorts of things that we really don't understand at all, because I think you were mentioning that some people are more understand more about the influence of planets, and then they may experience some more about subtle rupas and experience other realms, but actually none of this makes any sense from a Dhamma point of view, because as Sukhin said, through the sense doors only seven rupas experience, no subtle rupas at all. And when you talk about, for example, sex rupas, these are conditioned by karma, nothing to do with what you are suggesting. It's just thinking. So now the reality is just thinking about it.
Idea of developing understanding is to understand what appears, right? There's hardness. Start with very little understanding. It conditions thinking about the hardness. But you're saying that some people, bypassing that, start to think about sex rupas. Does that talk about, does that indicate understanding? Or more just thinking by accumulations? Because there must be an experience through the senses, right? And one of those rupas, visible objects, sound, smell, taste, hardness, softness, heat, cold, motion, pressure. With understanding, you think about, there can be thinking about hardness, which just appeared. There can be thinking about heat that just appeared. But you're saying it's not thinking about this, but thinking about something else, subtle rupas. And how the idea of subtle rupas come.
Can you see masculinity?
No,
so what is seen?
Because when you ask me about the subtle rupa, then I need to.
Yeah, because I don't know what you mean by subtle rupa.
What?
How many cross rupas are there? And how many subtle rupas are there?
The
12 coarse rupas, right? So
how about the environment of those
but just Ajahn just asked you a question, so because you're talking about subtle rupas, so she's just pointing out the 28 rupas and 12 are coarse, so those that are not coarse are the subtle rupas.
Yes.
Why do we call these subtle rupas? Why Buddha talk about only 12 the coarse rupas? And why did he talk about the subtle rupas?
Because the subtle rupas
don't appear, they're not apparent. That's why they're subtle, because
they're not known in daily life. So in daily life we can think about masculinity or femininity or space rupa, but they're not appear. They don't have characteristics which can be known now, like visible objects or sound. So if we think that some people have more sensitive and experience the subtle rupas, it's just in our imagination.
Achan, so how about the rupa of those some plane of this existence of celestial?
I think Lan is asking about how do people experience devas, for example, who it is said that their bodies are more subtle than ours. I think that's what is meant. Achan, Lan is asking, I think she's talking about people experiencing devas.
Without visible object, can there be any seeing?
Oh, no. So even if a deva is seen, it's visible object which is seen. If it's heard, it's sound that is heard. So if it appears, it appears.
Yesterday I talked about those who seem to be sensitive to experience though the human being may not know, but actually it is some of the plane of existence, then those feeling about that may support to the confidence in what Buddha said, what Buddha taught about the other planes of existence.
Don't have confidence in the Buddha, but with understanding, seeing, hearing what appears now, then it's unlikely you'll have confidence in the Buddha when seeing a deva, what you conceive of a deva. You're doubting about those things, right? But just seeing a deva does not condition confidence. It's understanding seeing, understanding hearing, that is what conditions confidence in the Dhamma.
Confidence can be by many ways or many extent. Because Buddha not only taught about the reality, but Buddha plane of existence, Buddha also taught, right?
Because it's a reality. Yes. He taught about plane of existence because it is real.
Yes. So, because you have believed that it's real. That's why if those one may feel something, then they believe that it's real, as Buddha taught.
Reality, would being transported to a deva realm make me understand that it's real? Even now, if there's no understanding about visible object, if there's no understanding that it's a reality, it doesn't. There's not going to be any confidence. So even if you somehow transported to deva realm, you're not going to have confidence in the reality of the deva realm. You're just going to be thinking about it, like you're thinking now, with ignorance.
Some people think that we are very narrow-minded or arrogant or something when we say there is only one way, and that's the understanding of realities, and they think there may be some other methods that may help. So, for example, if there's being some sensitivity to planetary influences, and then there may be some experience of other realms and of jhanas or something, and then this is some other shortcut or approach, and so just to keep emphasizing about this moment and present realities, they think it's too narrow-minded.
Without sanya, can there be human being or deva?
Marks visible object, it marks sound. Without that marking of visible object, they cannot be thinking about deva. You know, you remind me of something I wrote to someone. I commented on a very famous Thai Achan of old. I said he was an uninstructed worldling. Shocked by that remark. But it's that same Achan who used to talk about being visited by past arahats and going to hell realm and all that. That doesn't condition confidence. It actually is encouraging of more ignorance and attachment.
Moving away all the time from what is real now. So it's looking for some distraction or some other pursuit to avoid actually understanding and developing detachment from what's conditioned now, because that seems uninteresting or not known enough.
I think Achan, nobody does us more good than Achan, who's always reminding us about what appears now, that this is the object of understanding. Anyone who talks about, you know, concepts, always move, as Sarah says, always moving away from what appears now, is not really encouraging any satta.
Of course, I don't pay attention or focus or spend much time on that, but just that, what I think when someone say about astrology or seem to be some worldly things, but some way understanding can develop or can reflect about in the way of Dhamma through those things.
Actually, how many worlds are there?
Only six worlds.
What world can be known now?
Who's the ear?
Only the world which appears. Is a tree a world?
Is a tree a world?
Is it Kanda? Is it Kanda world? Kanda?
Can that be that when someone see the tree, can understand that there are many diversified kinds of tree, which is express the diversified combination of rupa?
The Buddha described the world as that which rises and falls away. So does a tree rise and fall away?
What bring up the tree arise and pass away? True path.
Thinking.
So it's just the world of thinking at that moment, no matter what you say about trees or what kind. It's just the world of thinking only, right? Because thinking is real. So it's the world of thinking. Not the world of seeing or hearing or other senses. It's the world of thinking. Just like when we think about Sattva Rupas or think about Deva realms or think about astrology, it's just the world of thinking only. So most of the day, after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, just lost in the ocean of concepts. Just, there's the world of thinking that thinks about all these different ideas, but none of them are real.
Always lost in the world of thinking.
So is that wrong when someone sees the many kinds of trees and reflect to the Dhamma that that is very diversified combination of rupas?
The reality is thinking. So thinking can be known. It has a characteristic no matter what it thinks about. Otherwise, when one's lost in the story about trees or dharmas, no understanding that what appears now, just moments of thinking, seeing, hardness, thinking, because there's still ideas that are thought about.
How about the want of rupas?
What rupa? There are so many rupas. So what rupa?
The combination of many kinds of rupas.
Just one at a time that can be experienced. So many kinds of rupa, but now just one is experienced. Sound is heard. Is hearing a word? Always sometimes, why not all the time? And when it's not sometimes, it's what?
Thinking or some other things.
Is it a word at moment of thinking?
Then the want of perception.
It doesn't matter, but is it a word thinking?
Yes.
Yes. Is sound a word?
Yes.
See, any conditioned reality which arises is a word. Because if there's no conditioned reality at all, no world, nothing arises. So how can there be any world? But since whatever arises, we said that's a world. The world full of many, many, many things which arise and fall away. And each one is a world.
And what's the difference between thinking about different varieties of trees and this room? Here also there's so many rupas, right? But each rupa, I mean, it's visible object, visible object, visible object that is experienced. No matter this. If this is seen, this is visible object. If that's seen, visible object, visible object.
Yes.
But that's one world, the world of visible object.
I think the Buddha said that each of the different worlds is to be known. So the world of seeing is to be known as the world of seeing. And the world of visible object is to be known as the world of visible object. And the world of hearing to be known as the world of hearing, and so on. And to be known means to be directly experienced, not to think about how or why or anything like that, but to be directly experienced by Panya. what understanding is about these worlds as directly experienced.
What we may call that the one is that what Buddha taught about the Dhatu. What we perceive now as the world is what Buddha taught about the Dhatu.
Well, he classified Dhammas in many different ways because there are different aspects to Dhammas. So it's the world of Khandhas or Dhatus or Ayatanas. It's all the same, really. The Dhammas are the same. The worlds are the same, just six worlds only. Whether they are considered in terms of dhatus or khandhas or ayatanas. But they are all impersonal elements, and that's what dhatus means. So seeing is an impersonal element. It doesn't belong to anyone. It arises by its own conditions. Visible object is an impersonal element. It arises by conditions not belonging to anyone. The same with hearing and sound. And even thinking is an impersonal element arising by conditions. And when Panya experiences each of these different worlds, then it begins to see the Dhammas in that light. Not by thinking in that way, but because it is Panya arises and it understands about the different Dhammas in the different aspects.
I don't usually think in terms of Dhatu, but from what you were saying, so Dhatu is related to being impersonal and not necessarily having the characteristic of impermanence and dukkha, because Nibbana is also a Dhatu, right? Nibbana is also a Dhatu, and it's anatta. Is that the meaning of Dhatu?
Well, the meaning of Dhatu is element, but element carries the connotation of something that's impersonal, doesn't it? An element is just a non-entity thing. A basic component, not further reducible.
Bears its own characteristic. Dharati, to bear, bears its own characteristic. That's why it's Dhatu.
No, I'm trying to compare with when it's stated that all Sankhara Dhammas are impermanent, Anicham, Dukkham, Anatta, and all Dhammas are Anatta. Is that like making a statement about Dhatu? Is that looking at realities as Dhatu?
Is Dhatu different from Dhamma? No. So no matter we talk in terms of Dhatu or Dhamma, they are the same.
But still, Achan, we also distinguish between conditioned and unconditioned Dhamma.
Or Dhatu.
Or Dhatu.
Yeah. Exactly the same.
Okay.
If there can be the understanding by way of Dhamma, not necessarily to use Dhatu, But in order to understand Dhamma better and better, we can talk about different Dhamma as different Dhatu.
And when we are talking about worlds, we can say each world is a Khanda or a Dhatu, a reality. Can we say all Khandas are worlds, or just that which appears is world, so if it doesn't appear?
Usually people try to find out whether it's right or wrong, this word or that word, but actually it depends on understanding.
Like how one world appearing at this moment, so that's actually, it's a world, it's a khanda, but this is the real meaning of world, just the reality that appears now. Nothing to do with deva realms or jhanas or sensitivity or subtle rupas, because that's not the world which appears now. And no purpose in wishing for some other world or some other reality, because each one's conditioned and arises and falls away anyway. Each one is unsatisfactory. So if it's, even if it's jhana that appeared now instead of visible object, no more value in terms of being object of insight, also equally impermanent and unsatisfactory. So no use wishing for anything else or any different experience, right?
So that this world, this conventional world that we call the world, is based on the experience of the five senses and thinking, right? So same way, when you're in the deva realm, it's still the same thing, five senses and thinking.
Even if it's a rupa jhana realm and only mind or activity, still just reality that's conditioned and rises and falls away, no more value than visible object which appears now, no more satisfactory at all. Equally anatta, equally impermanent, equally unsatisfactory.
Find the answer in the Tipitaka. Not necessary to try to find out by yourself, even about the Satarupa and the Coarse Rupa.
Even the question has to be with understanding. Otherwise, you read the sutta with wrong understanding and find the answer to that wrong understanding, for to support that wrong understanding.
For example, what is seen is not masculinity. It's only that which can be seen. Can hardness be seen? Even hardness cannot be seen, so how can the masculinity, femininity be seen?
Femininity and masculinity is darker than dark.
Satarupa. So we begin to understand the meaning of Satarupa.
So very little is known about coarse rupa now, like eye sense. Who knows anything about eye sense now? And this is coarse rupa, so how can Satarupas be experienced?
If there's no interest in understanding, seeing, hearing, thinking, feeling, all the khandhas, then how can you expect that after hearing about devas, there'll be interest? Because right now there's seeing, hearing, there's no interest at all. No, you were talking earlier about certain people need to hear about or experience those things to have some confidence.
I just said that they need
by previous karma, they might be in some those plane of existence. That's why they have those sensitivity.
Can we say that before studying the teachings, we talk anything with without understanding at all, like the world and so forth?
We still continue with a lot of wrong understanding or no understanding, and very rarely there is some understanding. But still, what can be understood is what appears now, not anything else.
Would you like to mention the Vitaka Sutta that we also were discussing a little bit last night? You have it written down in your book, the Vitaka Sutta.
Removal of distracting thoughts.
It's about something that which was translated as avoiding akusala, implying someone who avoids in conventional sense.
Abandoning.
I think it was avoiding, yeah. But I think it's just referring to the Sammapadana, I think. But I'm not sure, so maybe Ajahn would like to talk about this.
I'm interested in any word that I heard. So, just a moment ago, vitaka, I heard that this word. What is it? Study Dhamma, just one word at a time in order to really understand the teachings. Because we jump to other topics. What about vitaka? What is it?
It's the reality that touches the object.
You see that even there are many, many citta and cetasikas arising and falling away, all unknown. And we try to think about it. It's not trying to think, but to understand the way it is, that when will vitaka arise? It does not arise with the 10 jittas, which sees, hears, and so forth. As soon as these jitta have fallen away, vitaka arises with the sampatichanna. So what is it? What is vitaka? See? It's there now. We just keep on talking about it. So what is vitaka?
It's the chetasika, the mental factor that citta and the other chetasikas require to assist them to touch and experience the object, but seeing and the upatti chittas don't need vitaka, but the other chittas, they need it to, in order to experience the object, to touch the object. So often it's translated as thinking because it's required at each moment of thinking, but actually it's conditioned dharma that's required to experience that object.
So can anyone
run off a boat?
No, vitaka now directly, but it's there no matter you know or not.
So Sarah, can you say what you take for thinking is when vitaka rises again and again to touch different objects, right?
So what is thinking again?
I don't like to associate it with one chetasika. It seems to be more than just vitaka.
When we use the word thinking, it means that it's not seeing.
It's not seeing.
Not with sampatichana, not santirana, mm-hmm. not vottapana, mm-hmm. not kusala or akusala.
Yeah.
While the rupa hasn't fallen away yet, they cannot be thinking.
Mm-hmm.
has to be the jitas which has the same object as seeing, because the rupa hasn't fallen away yet. So it has to be mind or process.
Is there any way to avoid vitakka, akusala vitakka?
Is there any way to avoid citta, cetasika, srupa to arise?
So in this sutta, why is it given, I think the title is, what is it, Vitakka Santana Sutta?
Yeah, as sutra. I remember in one sutta which Buddha taught five ways when there is a lot of thinkings, a lot of thoughts. So, would you like to say something about?
Did he mean vitanka, which arises with sampatichana, santirana, vatapana?
No.
That's why we should study the teachings carefully. Otherwise, it's our own thinking.
So, what is that? Because by isen or by what is analyzed by Abhidhamma, then the thinking is just the vitakka. But actually, the problem is that when there is a lot of thinking, then it will the mind will be distracted or may lead to some other unwholesome. That is because there is that such problem. Then Buddha taught about the five ways when there are a lot of thinkings.
Can anyone stop thinking or avoiding thinking?
I mean, without thinking, you wouldn't understand the Buddha's words.
Yes, so what would I talk about that?
So I think that he's pointing out that there are many...
Pointing out that there are many unwholesome kinds of thinking in a day. So after seeing and the idle process has fallen away, usually there's thinking in a distracted way with restlessness and thinking about useless subjects. So he's pointing out that these are conditioned dharmas that are akusala, and he's pointing out other dharmas, other kinds of thinking that are useful, but he's not saying that anyone should try to avoid or stop having them. Because
as I remember in that sutta, Buddha give out five way to, one is that can, as I remember that one, when thinking of something may make you anger, then you may think of the opposite, which is metta, and or the second is,
okay. Even the first one, how can such thinking arise? By understanding, like now, no need to expect what moment will be right thinking, avoiding the akusala. But by conditions, hearing and understanding better and better, it performs the function of such moment. Like now, we know that there is no one at all, only cittas and cetasikas, right? And we understand what cetasikas are, sankhara khanda. Always forget about that and try to do something. Don't think about the meaning of sankhara khanda. Now they are working their way to understand what is heard, and that would be conditioned for right thinking later. Not by, I would like to stop or avoid the distracting thinking.
Sometimes the harmful thinking or the maybe too strong, then that's why Buddha taught for some ways to, not all the time that we can investigate or be mindful or to be with that unwholesome dhamma. That's why Buddha taught some other way to, so that the unwholesome will not arise or develop.
Okay.
not with the idea of self at all. Otherwise, it is atta, not anatta. So understanding the word, just one word at a time, from the very beginning, all dhammas are anatta. If one forgets, then there is the idea of trying to do that or this, and it doesn't work, because it has arisen, the strong kilesa. Before you can think about it, it's conditioned, it has arisen. And then you think of trying to stop it or avoiding it, but it's gone completely. The self is working hard. Try to stop. No understanding. So instead of trying to stop, what about beginning to understanding it as not self?
Is there any control over thinking now? Nobody can make kusala arise. Can you make kusala arise? By choosing to think of something?
The four right effort, right? Which Buddha talked about for the wholesome not arise to arise and not arise then to develop, and the unwholesome not yet arise, not to arise, and the unwholesome which is, has arise and not develop. Forget again, all dhammas are anatta. With our conditions, right thinking cannot arise at all. Yes. So, all dhammas are anatta.
Yes.
And understanding will lead to any right realities, right moment.
So there is no one to think. But there is the thinking.
Thinking is thinking. Can you manage thinking to arise now? And such thinking. Impossible.
So as I know in the Sutta, Buddha taught some way. Which is when seeing something dangerous and can avoid or reduce it by some way or control it or tame the mind by some way.
As soon as you read this phrase, can it be conditioned for right thinking? Certainly.
I don't remember that sutta, but I think many different methods, many different objects of thinking are mentioned, right? So I think that indicates that it's just a matter of what arises by pakatupanisiyapacha for different people at different moments. And what leads, it cannot be just, I bite my tongue and I'll have kusala. If by natural, by accumulations, I see the danger of the akusala, and I bite my tongue at that moment, it depends on the chitta at that time, if it's kusala or not. Not just because I heard and I do it and it's going to be kusala.
And sometimes people say, well, this sutta is for monks because of what is not allowable for monks or whatever, but whether one's talking about monks or lay people, anyone, it's still just conditioned dhammas, kusala and akusala, conditioned dhammas. So through understanding, there can be understanding of akusala dhammas, and whether one puts the tongue in the roof of the palate or takes a deep breath or speaks out or anything else, it's just by conditions. And it's only understanding that will actually lead to more kusala. So I think the Buddha is just describing what is, describing different realities, never a suggestion of anyone who can actually do anything.
That thoughts that there is five way which when they may apply, if this the first one cannot, then they may apply the second and the third.
I mean, that's showing there's no control, right?
first one, second, fifth one won't work.
Works and sometimes that can work. Can work. Not sure.
See? Why?
My conditions.
You see that these questions are motivated by lobha, attachment, unknowingly, all the time. If one would like to avoid, see? One like to avoid. Lobha is there.
Can be controlled. What arises has arisen already. So when we when we are thinking about something else, it must be with wanting something for the self. If akusala has risen already and it's already gone, now something else appears. So why think about not wanting to have akusala? It's not there. Right now there's no akusala. There's seeing, there's hearing.
But because the karma or the accumulation is too strong, that's why it's not only arise and pass away only one time, but the next moment it still arise and pass away and keep on that way.
You are talking about anatta, uncontrollable, right?
One of the things I remember Sarah saying from early on when I joined this group is this reminder about when there's all this, what we think like seems to last, like unpleasant feelings or akusala, they're still seeing, there's hearing in between. So that actually proves that it's not continuous. So why don't we understand that there's no, it's because there's no understanding that it seems like it lasts. So the only way is to develop understanding.
Of course, it's perfect if at that moment you aware of the reality and it passes away and does not lead to any unwholesome dhamma later on.
The unwholesome already gone.
But it's still at that time it still has the condition.
And if you want not to have it, that's actually feeding the akusala, isn't it? The idea of self.
But not all the time you can investigate.
Not all the time.
There's never a you that can investigate, so the purpose is not for oneself to investigate anything. The purpose is just understand, just accept with detachment what is. Not try to have it another way, not try to focus, not try to investigate, not try to change it.
It's like there may be some appreciation about the harm of dosa, but not the harm of self-view. Self-view or wrong view. At that moment, there's no understanding about the danger of wrong view. That's why there's the idea of wanting not to have the dosa by thinking this way or that way.
Just for me, good or wholesome
these things you'd like to have just for you,
just for oneself.
Some dhamma solely, not anyone.
It's not really wholesome dhamma. That time is wholesome dhamma.
For me.
My wholesome.
Then it, you may be overwhelmed by that unwholesome, and it may lead to many unwholesome verbal dis. Or
because the reality is, it's not there right now, or even at that time. As I said, there is seeing, there's hearing, there's so many dhammas in between.
Yeah, it's called yoga, you know, yoga, Pali. One is ditti yoga, is it?
The more clinging there is for it being a certain way, the more dosa there is when it's not like that. So that clinging to having kusala for oneself is what leads to all the dosa and the unpleasantness when it doesn't work out, because no self can control it or make it happen as one would like at all.
Without the Dhamma, there's so much wanting to do this and that for self. And now the Dhamma is also another object for self. One reads this sutta or that sutta with the idea of self and wants to do this, do that for result. It's like that medicine that is supposed to cure, even that becomes like poison when it's used for self.
It seems like the side effect when pay attention to develop the right understanding, and then it may bad deeds.
Even it may what?
Even current dhammas may lead to bad deeds.
Kind of dharmas lead to bad deeds.
Someone may think that their purpose is to develop right understanding and then ignore the good deeds and then let the bad deeds arise to develop understanding about the unwholesome.
Well, that would be wrong understanding, wouldn't it?
What might happen, you know, like you're talking about the akusala that might increase, and now you're saying the same thing: if you don't do this, then this might happen, that might happen. Why not just talk about what is right understanding?
Can right understanding understand wholesomeness, lobha, dosa and moha? Why not develop it? Because when it begins to understand, it can develop on and on.
So, Chan, whatever we read in the suttas, it all comes back to understanding what appears.
Each word of the teaching is the teaching of right understanding. Because he is Samma Sambuddho.
You've been having those discussions about pariyatti, so was that clear? I mean, I think it's such a subtle point, actually, because no one else can tell from the outside when it is pariyatti or not. Like, we may all be reading a sutta or discussing, like now, who can say when there's pariyatti or not, because it's a moment of right understanding. So only understanding itself can know when it is pariyatti, no matter what is the topic. But even if it's talking about kalapas, it is this moment. So it is about the truth at this moment.
Yes, but it is. The reference is always what appears now, and that's what I keep saying when I'm not sure if It's what Achan says all the time, because sometimes it seems like it's also saying that like when we say that we hear about conditionality is to get an idea about, to have better understanding about anatta. Sometimes it seems that even just thinking in the abstract about conditionality is some understanding about anatta.
If there's no understanding, then no pariyatti. But that's why Ajahn will say, okay, let's start with one term, avijja, because what's the point of just talking through the different links, and or it's like talking about different conditions or talking about subtle rupas if one has no idea what one's talking about. Impossible for there to be any pariyatti at all. Or even if one's just memorized and it seems knowledgeable, but and it may be correct words, but no pariyatti when there's no understanding, because nothing is known about this moment at all.
We could be listening to a lot of words, but that can be a condition to pay attention to what appears now. So we may be talking about Paticchasamuppada, the different links, but actually there's understanding of Paticchasamuppada now, if there's understanding of some understanding of seeing a visible object or hearing a sound, because there can be reminders about what appears.
What about the sanya and the citta and right understanding? Because we talk about jnana, vijnana, sanya and panya. Because you see that anyone can hear the word Dhamma, but if that person thinks that Dhamma means reading the numbers of citta and cittasikas, he doesn't study Dhamma. He doesn't really understand that Dhamma is here and now to be studied through the teachings. Otherwise, he thinks that he's studying Abhidhamma. He's so very good in numbers, but not knowing that whatever appears now is what Dhamma talk about. So the understanding of Dhamma must be from the very beginning. And this is pariyatti. The person who knows and understand even the one word Dhamma, that is here and now, and study. Seeing is now, hearing is now. And that is moment of studying Dhamma with understanding.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time it's just citta and sanya, no panya.
And I think one cannot assume at all, like one cannot assume at all if one's reading suttas or one's reading Abhidhamma or one's reading Paticchasamuppada, one cannot assume there's any pariyatti. I mean, one may be reading and then appreciate actually this ignorance at that very moment, so that is a moment of understanding. One cannot look at the circumstance or the situation at all.
The village boy would just play around with those coins. The village head will use it, but only the money changer will understand it.
So now you understand what pariyatta is?
Understanding.